Jumbo.
Jumbo.
So good to see you this morning. And it's so good to be back. Last year was Kathy's and my first trip to Kenya. And we were so blessed by all of you. The primary reason that we came back this year is because we believe God was leading us to come back. You see, it's one thing to do something because you want to. But it's something entirely different to do what God tells you to do. You cannot allow your personal desires to override the will of God. Just a few moments ago, Pastor Ken was talking about starting on time. In the United States, we also have a lot of churches that don't start on time. Well, there's a verse in the Bible that tells us when we give our word, we are supposed to keep it. And many years ago, God dealt with me about this issue. He said, if you tell people you're going to start at a certain time, you need to start at that time. He said, you've given your word to the people that you would start at a certain time, and I expect you to keep your word. So when we tell people we're going to do something at a certain time, God expects us to keep our word. So by starting on time, we are going to be honoring God all this week. And we will be keeping our word as we have given it. Before coming here this year, I spent a lot of time in prayer. Asking God what He wanted me to minister on. I was very concerned about making sure I clearly heard Him. You see, the Lord told me, just because you can teach something, doesn't mean that is what you're supposed to teach. So the key is for me to find out what God wants me to minister in a service. And I truly believe that He has given me a path to follow this entire week. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter
16.
Those of you who attended our services last year, you know that I tend to use a lot of scripture when I'm ministering. God's word has to be the foundation for all that we do. And this is why it's so important for us to be sure we are correctly using God's word. In Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, here's what Jesus said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In the United States, we refer to this as the Great Commission. The church where I was raised used these two verses as a foundation for what we believed. And we believed that it was important for us to preach the gospel to people all over the world. And so our church and our denomination was very strong in missions work. In our communities, in our country, and throughout the world, we wanted to preach the gospel. And this is a very important thing because this is what God told us to do. However, this is not the only thing that God told us to do. I want you to see more of these instructions that Jesus gave us. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. I'm sorry, Matthew 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to see more of what Jesus told us to do when it comes to preaching the gospel throughout the world. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, here's what Jesus said.
Mlango wa 18 wa Mathayo 28, hebu sikia kile ambacho Yesu anasema.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Aparta polo wacho kama Yesu nubiru igi mwacho negini ya teko duto ipolo gipinyo semenya emomi udiguru utimu ugelini duto unyopojirena kubatiso gie enyinguworo giuwo wengiro wale kupundo rito wechi duto maawach maachiko kendo neuru ankolu nalo duto nyakagiko mandalo.
So it's not just a matter of preaching the gospel and getting people saved. It's also a matter of making people disciples. We are very good when it comes to preaching the gospel to get people saved. But the church of God, the body of Christ, is very weak when it comes to making disciples. Jesus said that we are to teach people to observe whatever He said.
Yesu nosingo ni nyaka wapuonj ji mondo girit weche te manosingo.
This literally means what we see in the entire Bible. But so many preachers are only knowledgeable of telling people how to be born again. When it comes to being a disciple, we need to follow the words of God. Many people are very good at teaching what they think God has said. But when it comes to actually teaching what God has said, you can only do that if you know what God has said. We are supposed to learn what God has said so that we can become everything that God wants us to be. If the teacher or the preacher does not understand the Word of God, how can he teach people to be disciples? Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Timoteo mar ariyo, madongo ariyo.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And he's giving Timothy instructions concerning his ministry. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, here's what Paul said. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, here is what you're supposed to do. All of these things that I have taught you, you are supposed to turn around and teach these same things to other people. And the people who hear those things are then supposed to turn around and teach others. The only way that this can work successfully is if we stay true to what is written in the Word of God. We cannot take the Word of God and break it into pieces and just teach pieces. We have to leave it in context. This has not happened throughout the ages. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy taught other people. But over the years, people began changing what was taught.
Timothy,
The result is that the body of Christ is fragmented all over the world. As Christians, we are all born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. But it would be impossible for us to be disciples if we are not staying in the Word of God. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And what we're going to see is the way that Timothy listened to the teachings of Paul and followed Paul's instructions. Remember, in 2 Timothy, Paul told him, "You listen to everything I've taught you, then you teach the same thing to other people." In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, look what Paul wrote. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church."
16. Wacho kama, "Omiyo ahombou ni mondo ubed joma kaotimna. Mano e omiyo aoronu Timotheo, nyathina mahero kendo ma jaadiera kuor. En noparnu yorena kuom Kristo kaka puonjogi kuonde duto e kanisni duto."
Paul had told Timothy to hold fast to everything you have heard me teach.
Kendo Paulo nosewacho ne Timotheo ni mondo omak motegno ma ok oyiengni weche te mosewinjo ka Paulo puonjo.
Then Paul told the Corinthians, "I am sending Timothy to you."
Eka Paulo nowacho ne Jokorintho ni aoronu Timothy kuom.
And he said, when Timothy gets there, he is going to be able to teach you everything that I teach.
Eka nowacho ne gini, ka Timothy obiro kanyo, obiro puonjou yore te man bende apuonjo.
This means that Timothy understood everything that Paul taught and what is written in the New Testament. When we read the New Testament, all the things that Paul wrote, sometimes we think this is very confusing. We read some of the things that Paul wrote and we wonder, how long is it going to be before I understand all this? But Timothy understood all of this. Timothy understood it so well that Paul could send him somewhere, and Paul knew Timothy would teach the same thing. That means that everything we see in the New Testament that was written by the Apostle Paul should be taught in every church. But this doesn't happen. There are some churches who do not believe in healing. There are some churches who do not believe in miracles. There are some churches who do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But those are just a few of the things that the Apostle Paul taught. And if these are the things the Apostle Paul taught in every church, these are the things that are supposed to be taught in churches today. So why doesn't that happen? Why is it that so many people who are called pastors don't teach these things? It isn't that they don't love God. It isn't that they're not born again. It's just that they have not been taught these things. And in some cases, they have been taught against these things. But if we are going to stay true to the Word of God, we do not have the choice but to teach these things. When Paul sent Timothy, Timothy was able to go into any church, and he could teach and explain everything that we see in Scripture today. Then Timothy was supposed to turn around and teach other people these same things. That means those people were supposed to understand it the same way and teach it the same way. And yet we know today this isn't happening. But if we are going to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to be able to teach these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look in verse 1. Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." What are the mysteries of God? You cannot be a steward of a mystery if you do not know that mystery. Very briefly, here is what it means when Paul says the mysteries of God. It is everything about being born again. Everything about understanding Scripture. Everything about moving in the power and the anointing of God. Everything about Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everything it means to be a Christian. Everything it means to be a child of God. This and so much more is what the mysteries of God is all about. And Paul says, we are ministers of Christ. Meaning we are true disciples of Jesus Christ. And as His true disciples, we are stewards of the mysteries. This means we know the mysteries and we teach the mysteries. They're called mysteries because until somebody teaches you, you don't know them. And if nobody teaches you, then you have to try to figure it out on your own. And this is how the body of Christ has become so fragmented today. People have not been properly taught. They love Jesus, but they're not His disciples the way they think they are. And Paul says that it is required of stewards that they be faithful. This faithfulness means our faithfulness to the mysteries of God. That we are faithful to uphold the unchanging standards of God's Word. That we are faithful to stand on the truth of God even if man criticizes us. That even if other Christians tell us we don't know what we're talking about, we still stand true on the Word of God. But we have to learn the Word of God to know what we're standing on. This is part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Turn over to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we're going to see something that Jesus spoke. In John chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now look how they answered Jesus. In verse 33. They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They say that they were never in bondage to anyone. And yet at this time, Rome was in charge. They were in bondage to Rome. They had to pay taxes to Rome. They had to obey Roman law. And yet they said, "We're not in bondage." They were wrong. Many, many years ago, they had been in bondage to Babylonians. So for them to say that they were never in bondage, that is not true. When you speak to Christians today and tell many of them that they are in bondage, they'll look at you and say, I'm not in bondage to anyone. They'll say, Jesus has set me free. But the truth is, many Christians are in bondage. They are in bondage to the religious traditions of man. And they don't even realize that they are in the chains of that bondage. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And the power of my word will make you free. The power of God's truth will set us free from religious traditions. If I don't believe in signs and wonders and miracles, I am in bondage. But the power of God's truth will set me free from that bondage. And I can believe for healing to manifest in people's bodies. I can live in the belief that I truly am the child of Almighty God. That when I got born again, God gave me His life and nature. I have become God's spiritual offspring. I am in a position of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have the right to use the name of Jesus. Devils are real. But the name of Jesus is more powerful. Many Christians do not believe in casting out devils. But the truth of God is, we can cast out devils in Jesus' name. But if I don't believe that, I am in bondage to a religious tradition. And as long as I am in bondage to religious traditions, I cannot be the fullness of a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is something so many Christians do not understand. Look over in Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read to you one of the most incredible passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. You see, what has happened in the body of Christ is this. When the church was first started, that we read about in the New Testament, the only teaching they had was what came from the apostles. But over the years, men have changed these things. Today you have preachers who will tell you it is wrong to speak in tongues. Yet the Apostle Paul spoke in tongues. And he taught people about speaking in tongues.
mayore.
Jesus said we would speak with new tongues.
Yesu nowacho wabiro wuoyo gi dhok mawendo.
These are contained in prophecies.
Magi gin gik moko, gin mobet e weche manokor.
So why would we not want to teach these things?
Ang'o momiyo ok wadwar mondo wapuonj wechegi?
It's because if we have been mistaught, we will misteach other people. Now I want you to read what happened and what Paul warned about. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17.
Kitabu cha Matendo ya Mitume 20 kuanzia 17.
And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house.
Achino mana biro iru Asia. Natiyo gi ruoth gi chuny mamuol chutho, kendo gi pi wang e temruok manobiro na nikech jo Yahudi nochano ling'ling' mondo obutna. Kendo ung'eyo kaka ne ok aluoro nga, nyisou gimoro ma dikonyu ka punyou e lela kendo e uteu. Nahulo ratiro.
Paul sent a message to Ephesus. He said, I want all of the pastors and the leaders and the teachers of the church to meet me in Miletus. They literally had a ministry conference like what we're having here. And he stood before them and he reminded them, the whole time I have been with you, I have held nothing back. I have taught you the entire Word of God as it has been given to me. I have taught you everything I know to teach. Now remember, the reason that these things are taught is so people can go and teach others as well. Now look at this beginning in verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Mondo ukuwa kanisa mara nyasaye manong'iyo gi rembe uwone uwuon. Ang'eyo ni kasea, ondiegi mowore nodonji e diru kendo ok giniwe kwe kendo kuom uwegi bende jomoko nopudno nowuogie mapuonjo weche maketho adiera ni mondo giywago jopuonjre mabangi. Emomiyo ritreuru kuparo kaka kuom higni adek otieno godiochieng' ne ok aweyo siemou ng'ato ka ng'ato kagi ka pi wang'a chwe. To koro aketou kuom Nyasaye kendo kuom wach ng'uonone manyalo dongou kendo miyou gikerni kaachiel gi ji duto mopuodhi.
We don't know how many people were in that conference. There may have been hundreds of pastors and elders and teachers in attendance. And Paul stood before them and he said, I have taught you everything I know to teach. That means that everything we read in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul taught those men. And then Paul said, you take heed over the people you're responsible for. He said, take heed to the flock that the Holy Ghost has put you over. That right there tells us that the Holy Ghost is the one responsible for giving people their ministry calling. But too many Christians today believe that if their denomination tells them that they are a preacher, then they are a preacher. And many people believe that if my church or my denomination gives me a piece of paper that says I am ordained, then that means I am ordained. But the gifts and callings are from God, not man. And if we don't know how to hear from God, we won't know if we're called or not. But if our church tells us, I know how to call you into ministry, we'll believe our church and never learn how to hear God. Paul said, for 3 years, I have been warning you about some things. In verse 29, he said, after my departing, grievous wolves are going to enter into your presence. What he meant was, after I have died, there are going to be people begin to move in your midst who are going to be like wolves. And then in verse 30, he says something that is absolutely amazing. He looked over that crowd of hundreds of teachers and pastors and preachers. People that he had been teaching the Word of God for years. And he looked at them and he said, there are going to be some of you in this place who are going to rise up and depart from truth and exalt yourselves.
Na akawaambia ya kwamba baadhi yenu kuna watu wengine watakaosimama waondoke katika ukweli na waondoke ili wakapate kujikweza wao wenyewe.
This is absolutely amazing to me. Because that tells me that people who heard the Apostle Paul eventually drifted away from his teachings. I would think that if I had sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, I would never drift from the teachings. And yet Paul warned them, there are some of you people here who are going to drift away from the truth. He did not say you will drift away from believing that Jesus is the Son of God. He was saying you're going to develop your own teachings to exalt yourself to draw people unto you. To me, that is absolutely incredible. But what it tells me is that there were preachers there that day who were not doing things they were supposed to do. Now turn over to 2 Timothy chapter
3.
Second Timothy chapter 3. And what we're going to read is an instruction. What we're going to read is part of the way for us to avoid drifting away from truth.
So, achiel kuom gimoro somo ni en yo ma Nyasaye miyowa go ratiro mondo kik wahae gimiluongo ni puonjruok mar adiera.
In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This means that no matter what I preach or teach, the Word of God is the power to correct me when I'm wrong. But if I am not willing to receive what is in the Word of God, I will not be corrected. And he says in verse 16 that Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This phrase, inspiration of God, literally means this. Divinely breathed forth by the Holy Spirit of God. And he says that Scripture, the power of Scripture correcting us, will enable us to become perfect or spiritually mature and thoroughly furnished and equipped spiritually to do everything God wants us to do.
Jomotiege, jomolon, mondo,
This is how we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is how God is able to begin to move in us with His power and His glory. There are a lot of people who want others to think that they have the power of God. So they will pay people to pretend that they're sick and then act like they get healed when they're prayed for. When people come up for prayer, they will push on them so hard the people fall down. Because they want you to think that they have a great anointing of God. But when it is truly the anointing and the power of God, you don't have to push on anybody. I don't need to pay people to act like they're sick. There are enough sick people in the world already. And I will pray for them and believe for their healing to manifest. And if it doesn't manifest at that moment, I'm not going to pretend that it did. That is a lie before Almighty God. I want to stand before God with a clear conscience. I don't want to promote myself. Because promotion comes from God. I will let Him promote me. I want to be His servant. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him and Him only. And I want to walk in His truth, not man's truth. I have to be willing to accept all Scripture. And all Scripture has been divinely breathed forth by the Holy Spirit of God. What this means is this. I need to involve myself with the entire Word of God. And I need to involve myself with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that He would lead me and guide me into all truth and teach me all things. All this week, we are going to be teaching you on how to involve yourself with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I am going to be focusing much on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am going to show you things from the Word of God that will help you interact with the Holy Spirit. You are going to be able to continue in the Word of God. And the more we continue in the Word of God, is the more we separate ourselves from man's traditions. And when we apply the things I'll be teaching you this week, the things that Pastor Bronk will be teaching you this week, step by step, we will become true disciples of Jesus Christ. We will not depend on man anymore. We will have a bond of friendship between each other. But our dependency will be on God Himself. And as we apply these things that we're learning, We are going to go from glory to glory to glory. We will conform more to the image of Christ. And step by step by step, we will become true disciples of Jesus Christ. Will you please stand? This entire week is going to be like a brief Bible college. We're not going to be shouting and screaming and running all over the place preaching. But we are going to be teaching the line upon line truth of God's Word. It's going to be like a seminary all this week. And by the time this week is over, the things that we have taught you, if you apply them, you will truly become mighty warriors for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you so much for this time we have together. Your word has gone forth today. It is going to go forth all this week. Add your anointing and power to it. May it be sown deeply into our hearts. May the enemy be unable to steal it. Draw us closer to you this week. May traditions of man be cut away. And may we be permanently changed by the end of this week. Jesus, you get all the glory and the praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, to let you know about the way this week is going to continue. One of the things Pastor Bronk and I always strive to do is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit leads us to have special prayer lines, we will have special prayer lines. But if we don't sense the Holy Spirit saying, have a prayer line, we will be obedient to Him. And we won't have special prayer lines just because that's what everybody else does. We want to do exactly what He wants this entire
week.
This does not mean we won't pray for people. It means we're not going to try and force something to happen. I am so glad you are here. And I am so looking forward to this week. Hallelujah. Pastor Kennedy.